T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me. Because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
That's good.
It's funny. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
It's going to be on next week.
Yeah.
And it's funny you played that, Brayton. Thanks for doing that. I actually did stop and think. I don't know what would have triggered it, but the Christmas specials are coming, the Burgermeister Meisterburger, the Grinch that stole Christmas, the old cartoon version. All that stuff is coming. And now, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. They're going the wrong way.
It's the Friday before Thanksgiving, so I figured I'd get it in.
Pillows.
I like it.
Those aren't pillows. Good job.
I'm reading about the Oakley face shield.
Yes, sir.
What do you know about it?
Nothing.
Anything?
So I'm glad you... No, I honestly, that's what I thought. What is it compared to wearing the blue mask that we all wear?
Okay, so it's not on their actual face or mouth. It's part of the face mask.
It goes on the
part of the face mask.
Yep.
Now, it looks like, if you've seen it, someone sent me a picture, Chase Claypool tweeting it. It says, Matt wrote in, will this count in the eyes of everyone as a face covering? It's a screenshot from Chase Claypool.
Yeah.
And what you see when looking at it is a plastic, basically plastic goes across the mouth part of the face mask like it does across the eyes on a visor.
It is not like a full tinted shield covering top to bottom. All right.
No, there's a plastic part that goes over the mouth area, the lower portion of the face mask, and there are holes in it.
Okay.
Now, Matt tweets this in this picture, the one that Chase Claypool is holding up, and you might look at that and say, what's the point if there are holes in it?
Yeah.
Right? So, reading about this at PlaySmartPlaySafe.com, NFL player safety, what this does, there are a series of, I guess like the best way I want to say this is, there's 4 or 5 different layers of it, so that while you can breathe through it, and while it will not completely eliminate the risk of transmission, that there's no direct path for the droplets or whatever to travel.
Yeah.
So it's almost like if you gave it a little tiny maze to go through, you know?
It's like a filter or something that keeps it from
going
right
like
through.
Yes, it's like if you put a sieve up in front and then another sieve after that and another, and there are 4 different sequences of holes or whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
That's what it will do. So if this is in line with what the state of Pennsylvania requires, then the mouth shield prototypes, they were distributed to all teams. Basically, the Oakley face shield is designed to do that. So it kind of, it won't be zero, but it would be better.
Yeah.
Which, if we're being totally honest, a lot of this is, a lot of the things that are done aren't perfect, but they're better. And this is a state mandate apparently in Pennsylvania that's coming forward. So if the NFL players on the field have to do it, they would wear this face shield. And again, would it be perfect? No, but it would be better is the idea.
Seems like it would be a more comfortable option than the mask going over your face.
Yeah, you're not wearing like felt on your face.
Yeah, right. Because they're breathing hard. They're running. I mean, I just think, it would be an uncomfortable feeling for a football player to have that thing on, you know? I would guess the Oakley would be the way most of these guys would go. It seems more convenient.
Yeah, the only thing you would wonder about have they designed it, will it fog up? You know,
if it's
cold outside and you're breathing inside of a plastic sheath helmet, your hot breath is going to, will it fog up or will that be not an issue?
Well, my glasses fog up all the time when I'm wearing my mask. So, I mean, it's, try grocery shopping. You're trying to look at a box and everything, and you're like, ooh, it's really foggy. I can't actually see the aisle of food. Yeah, so that'll be well, Pittsburgh's not home. I'm trying to remember. No, nor is Philly. Pittsburgh and Philly are both on the road this weekend.
Right. So the first game, it's Thanksgiving night.
Oh, the Ravens-Steelers game. Sure.
And then the first one for the Eagles would be the following. They're on Monday Night Football. Get ready.
Oh, my goodness gracious me.
So that's the story from Pennsylvania on the mask mandate. A new mask mandate that requires athletes to wear face coverings during games. And that would mean that the Oakley face shield, that would be it. And in terms of, let's just, for the sake of, you know, how it looks or how it would affect the game, there's under no circumstances should this bother you. Like the way that it looks.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah,
the way that you, if the player, as long as the players can see, like it might be a little bit weird, but looking at a player wearing this face mask, this face shield, it's not much different than a hockey player that wears a full
That's
shield.
What I was just going to bring up.
It's just, you know, to some degree, you almost wondered if, I don't know, if this would be something that players would decide that they like going forward. Who knows if they get punched in the face too much or punched in the mouth or. To me, it doesn't seem like the kind of thing that will be jarring. If the game is the same and the players say it's weird but they are unaffected, I don't think anybody will be too upset about it.
I mean, some hockey players don't like the shield, right? It's a preference thing. Some don't like it because it does fog up. But I think a lot of guys have probably gotten used to it over time. So, yeah, I guess that would be, you know, you go out for your shift in hockey and then if they go to the bench, you know, they grab the towel and they're cleaning off the face shield while they're sitting on the bench. Yeah, I don't know if that would be a big problem in the NFL, but if I had to, as an outsider who doesn't play National Football League games for a living, I think I would prefer that over wearing the felt mask. I just feel like this would be more comfortable for me to compete in the game rather than having this mask and breathing in and out, the mask moving all the time. And by the way, you get really stinky mask breath. So, yeah, I'm going to vote for the Oakley face shield. Mm-hmm. All right, you ready to go through the matchups?
I am for SCAF and Super Great American Football Friday Frenzy.
Football. Super, super great, great American football Friday frenzy.
All right, so your matchups in the 1 o'clock games, the CBS early and early run of CBS games, there are four. We get Tennessee and Baltimore. That is a Nance Romo game. 1 o'clock on CBS. That'll be shown to a good chunk of the country, but there are other games here that are worth watching. You know, Tennessee and Baltimore, I feel like they're both in the same boat a little bit, which is, well, at least for me, I believed in both of these teams.
Yeah.
I do think Tennessee is good, but they've not been great of late.
No.
And Ryan Tannehill has kind of come back to earth a bit, kind of like Lamar Jackson has come back to earth a little bit. So it's a story about their offense. That said, Ryan Tannehill does have 20 touchdown passes in 9 games and 2,100 yards. So trending towards like a 36 touchdown season and nearly 4,000 yards. It just hasn't been as consistent of late, I guess.
Well, they've lost 3 of 4. I think there were also questions about their defense. Remember when they were playing the Bills and we were talking about how they were giving up 30 points a game? Well, they didn't. They had a good night against Buffalo. But that's back. That's kind of reared its head. And you mentioned you've been bringing up Lamar Jackson. I read a piece yesterday in The Ringer. Riley McAtee, I believe, was the guy's name. Anyway, it was a good breakdown of what the heck's happening with the Ravens. And it's everything offensively. It's passing numbers are down. Rushing numbers are down. I mean, you name an offensive category, and it's down. Now, granted, you can say it might be hard to reach the peak they were at last year. They were such an explosive offense. They went through, like, some really long stretch where they were scoring over 30 points a game. But it's dramatically down this year. Like, Lamar Jackson is not – he's not running as much. He's not running as effectively. And his passing yardage, his passing touchdowns, his completion rate, everything across the board is down offensively for them. It's – I guess the point of the article was there's a regression to means. This is not that. This is beyond a regression to means when you look at Baltimore's offense this season.
Yeah, I'm thinking about Tennessee here, and I was pulling up Derrick Henry's game-by-game stats to see if he's getting – you know, more carries or fewer carries. But what always, you know, I think, drives that offense is their passing game. And Tennessee started out the season 5-0 before losing to Pittsburgh. Their point totals. In week one, they scored 16. Then, here's Tennessee, 33, 31, 42, 42.
Wow.
Guess what? They won all those games.
Yeah.
Since when they're 1-3, their point totals are 24, 20, 24, 17.
Yeah.
30 points wins. Like, it's football has a million stats. Get to 30. Get to 30
well,
and take your chances every week.
You have, if you look at their schedule, again, prior to playing the Bills, I think they were off to what, a 3-0 start going into that game? I think in two games, they gave up at least 30 points.
They did.
Yeah, but they scored more than the opponent. So, you know, they were out, you know, they could win 34-31 or whatever they needed to be. And, you know, if the offense is dropping down and their defense is not as good as it was last year, that's one of the reasons why they've dropped three of the last four games.
Well,
schedule
Tennessee
got a little tougher, too.
Yeah, if Tennessee wins this game, I kind of want to say, like, watch out, Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know, their schedule, it's what happens when you play a first-place schedule and your crossovers are tough. You tend not to get any breaks. I mean, Baltimore in the last few weeks, Pittsburgh, Indy, and New England. And that's a tough run. Then Tennessee, yeah. Pittsburgh again.
See, that's the thing. If they lose this game and they have Pittsburgh next, now you're talking about Cleveland beats Philly. Now you're sitting behind Cleveland, and you're the three team now in the division.
And they still have a game against Cleveland coming up later this year. So,
right. Yep.
Yeah. That's Tennessee, Baltimore. Pittsburgh and Jacksonville. Mike Tomlin's career against the Jags. I saw this number from Andrew Filippone. His record against the Jaguars is 4-4. And there's a pretty clear line of where things separate. To playoff Jaguars teams, Mike Tomlin is 0-4. To non-playoff Jaguars teams, they are 4-0. So it kind of stands to reason. You know, when the Jags are good, they don't beat them.
Right.
And when the Jags are bad, they beat them. Simple as that. So Andrew's point was, they beat bad Jacksonville teams. They'll beat this one and go to 10-0.
Just don't.
Pittsburgh at Jacksonville.
Don't take Jacksonville lightly. This is not the Big Ten play in the MAC there, Jeremy. So.
Ooh, there was a great, great burn from
Roethlisberger?
Roethlisberger, yeah. Did you see what he said about that?
Yeah, I did. It was funny. So yeah, if you're wondering what that meant. So, go ahead. You want to go through the whole story?
No, you can tell the story.
So Tomlin on his Zoom call with the media, the reporters were asking him about it being a trap game because they're playing Baltimore after this. And that's when he pulled out the whole, we're not a Big Ten team playing the MAC. So, he took a shot at the MAC. Where did Ben Roethlisberger play his college football?
The MAC.
In the MAC at Miami of Ohio. You want to take it from there?
So, then he said, basically, I'll worry about it when I figure out where William and Mary is.
What conference are they in again?
Yeah.
I don't know, by the way. I have no idea what conference they're in.
He thought he was being cute by taking a shot at his coach. Bulletin board material for Sean McDermott.
Oh, shoot, that's right.
Boom. You just put it on the
board.
Remember
what he said about William and Mary.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't even know what they're after.
Joke's on you, Roethlisberger.
Yeah. Oops.
New England, Houston. You know, I'd like Houston to go ahead and win this game so we don't have to talk about New England anymore.
I'm getting a little nervous.
I don't know, but I don't want to get three straight wins for them.
Mm-hmm.
It would be the Jets and Houston would be two of those three, the other being Baltimore. You know, like, come on, Houston. Can we do a favor? If I could get one game this weekend, that might be the one I want, more than the Miami-Denver game.
On paper, this is at least you. On paper, this is the easiest game left on their schedule.
New England's?
Yeah, because then they play Arizona. They play the Chargers, who I think at the very least you can say the Chargers' defense is better than Houston's. Then they play the Rams, the Dolphins, and the Bills. So this should be, after this, even if they win to go to 5-5, I don't think they're going to go on any kind of a run here. I really don't.
There's news from the Patriots. They believe Stephon Gilmore will play. Belichick said had they known he was going to miss three games, it's likely he would have been put on IR.
Yeah.
And he did praise Gilmore for assisting the other defensive backs in his absence. The belief is he will play. That from Mike Giardi, who we spoke to earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
So Gilmore looking like he might come back for that game, New England at Houston.
Is his house still for sale? I was going to put in a bid. All right, go ahead.
Cincinnati at Washington is a 1 o'clock game. Mm-hmm. You know me, I'm a Burrow fan.
Yep.
So anytime the Bengals play, I want to keep an eye on it. I want to take a look at it. A sneaky good young receiver right now, T. Higgins is having a great year.
Mm-hmm.
T. Higgins has come in and basically gotten a good share of the targets there in Cincinnati. They throw to him 9 times a game the last couple weeks. He's had multiple 100-yard games. He's got 4 touchdowns on the season. I just think, you know, I liked him a lot at Clemson,
mm-hmm.
and he's come right in. From a quarterback-receiver-rookie combo, I think you got something nice there in Cincinnati. To go, of course, with Tyler Boyd. I don't know.
Julio's still playing, isn't he?
What's that?
Julio's still playing, isn't he? I'm not sure if he's injured or healthy or
Julio who?
Or I'm sorry, AJ Green. AJ Green's still playing, isn't he? Right?
Yeah, okay. He has been. I saw a stat last week or maybe 2 weeks ago that the completion percentage above expectation to AJ Green is really bad. Like whatever reason, it's just not working out between those two.
Yeah.
And, you know, for targets, Green against Pittsburgh was targeted, here you go, 5 times, 0 catches.
Wow.
Against Tennessee, 5 targets, 2 catches. Against Cleveland, 13 targets, 7 catches. There have been these games where, for whatever reason, when they throw to A.J. Green, maybe that's Burrow's throwaway throw.
Yeah.
But week two of the season, 13 targets, 3 catches. Hmm. Green's had really 2 big games this year where he got over, you know, 51 yards receiving. And he still hasn't had a touchdown.
It could be Burrow just, you know, he's comfortable with the fellow rookie. You know, and maybe he just knows that you can't say that you wouldn't trust a veteran receiver like A.J. Green, but maybe there's just some comfort zone that's developed that he likes throwing the ball to the kid. Hey, you still have Alex Smith playing on the other side, too.
Yeah.
Had a good game last week.
Could be interesting and fun.
Yeah.
Late games, Miami at Denver and the Jets at the Chargers. Of course, we're going to want to watch Miami and Denver. We don't get that game, though, regularly.
Right.
Unfortunately, instead of that, we're going to get the Fox late game, which is Green Bay-Indianapolis. Fox has the doubleheader. So, Philly-Cleveland and Green Bay-Indianapolis is Buck and Aikman. So, maybe you get to watch, you know.
Just like to say, note from that game, Tua going for a 4-0 start, which is not exactly a record for rookie quarterbacks, which is not even in the same zip code. Most consecutive wins for a rookie quarterback?
Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
Was it 13?
Yeah. 2004. So Tua's got a little bit of ways to go to catch Roethlisberger.
You know, every time we talk
about
Tua.
Can't do it, actually. He can't. So.
Every time we talk about Tua, we get this comment, and it's not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's totally right to think this, but it's just kind of funny that I'm sure after Roethlisberger's 6th straight win, someone said, he's going to get more tape on him.
teams will catch up. Yeah.
This is good. You're getting tape. Everyone's going to figure him out. I'm not saying Tua is going to be like that. It's just that's definitely a thing in the process. You think, okay, you're going to get some tape on Tua. And if he keeps winning, you know.
Yeah, the tape will show that he's doing okay, you know.
I think there's a little bit of a bias is – I don't know if bias is the right word. I think there are some around town that want to put Miami down more than they should just because you finally got the big bad wolf, Brady, gone.
Yeah.
And the Patriots gone. And now the Bills look like, you know, the big kid on the block. And there's a challenger too soon. We're not supposed to – right? It was supposed to wait until next year. The Dolphins have a nice, good, plucky 8-8. They were not supposed to be here.
No. No, not no way, no.
I do think they deserve to be there, though. I don't think it's a fluke.
Maybe in the wild card race, right? I don't think you would have been stunned if you said they would be in the hunt, or maybe in that bottom of the wild card race. I don't think anybody thought they'd be in the division race. I didn't.
Yeah,
I sure as heck didn't. I didn't think Tua would. I figured if Tua started this early, it's because they got off to they were losing, and they just decided, what's the point of playing Fitzpatrick? We're losing. Let's put Tua in now. I will say this, too. Again, I preface my remark by saying the extent of watching Tua, and for that matter, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert, is red zone, since I don't have Sunday Ticket. I will tell you that Tua, and he might be really good. I was a fan of his at Alabama. He has not looked like Burrow and Justin Herbert when they opened their careers.
In terms of those guys are throwing it all over the place.
Correct. Absolutely.
And Burrow's managing. Tua's been managing. Yep.
Absolutely. Yep.
Which, by the way, there's probably a little bit of a reason for that, which is with both Burrow and Herbert, what are you in it for? You just throw it around, kid.
Right.
We're 1-whatever. We're 2-whatever. With Tua, 7-3. Yeah. Don't kill us. You know?
Right. That's a very smart formula for them.
Yeah.
It's working. Right. Don't screw with it.
All right. On to Atlanta, New Orleans. That's a game. That's a 1 o'clock Fox game in New Orleans with Jameis Winston going against an Atlanta team that he would have played an awful lot against over the course of his Tampa career. Philly-Cleveland, we mentioned.
You're assuming, by the way, it's Jameis Winston.
I am assuming it's Jameis Winston.
Which it's not formally been announced, so.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and assume it's Jameis Winston.
I would think it would be.
If they get the main reason Taysom Hill can't start and throw 30 passes is because Taysom Hill exists only to tease people about the idea of him throwing 30 passes. They won't let it happen.
I wouldn't think.
They can't let it happen because it's Capone's fault. It's all the things in one. It's a mystery that must remain a mystery forever. What if they let him throw it all the time? Can't do it.
Yeah.
We need this mystery, Sean Payton. Please let us continue to have it. Detroit, Carolina is another game for the Fox early slate and the Fox late slate. Green Bay, Indianapolis, and then Dallas, Minnesota is another one as well.
Yeah, I'm all in on that one. Hello, Cowboys-Vikings game. Wow.
Well, you know, the Vikings are playing their way from, you know, tank for somebody back into the hunt. And their schedule is very nice. Dallas, Carolina, Jacksonville, their next three. So as they sit 4-5, they could easily move to 7-5. And in an NFC that there are spots available, they also will play Tampa, Chicago, New Orleans, and Detroit. I think it's very, very reasonable to see Minnesota maybe get to an 8-8 kind of neighborhood. 8-8, maybe 9-7.
Yeah, be tough, though. You know, you're right, because you still think, you know, the number two team in the South is going to get a bid. And I would assume that still the second place team in the West is in. And then I wouldn't think the third place team in the West drops enough games. Maybe I haven't looked at how often they're playing each other the rest of the way. But would they drop enough games that Minnesota could sneak into the seventh spot? I think it'd be tough.
It's going to be one of those spots where Minnesota's, I would say, definitely going to finish with more wins than Philadelphia.
Oh.
And they're not going to make it.
No.
Or, I mean, or if they don't make it, they'll have a real beef.
Yeah, they should have more than the Eagles. Geez, there was a thing I was going to bring up about Green Bay Indy. Oh, Green Bay Indy. Offense versus defense, the note for that game. The Packers are third in the league in scoring. They're averaging 30 points a game. The Colts have the fourth best scoring defense. They average 19 against. So that's one of the storylines for
the Colts
matchup.
Do have a good defense. Mm-hmm. They're good. They stop the run really well.
They're not leaning on Phillip Rivers to win football
games. No. And then, of course, there's the two late games, the two primetime games. Kansas City, Las Vegas is the Sunday nighter, right?
The big we're going to get you for taking the victory lap around our stadium in your bus game.
Oh, they did that?
You didn't know about that story?
I did not know that story.
Oh, yeah. It came out earlier this week. So when they beat Kansas City at Arrowhead earlier this season, and I'm going to guess they hadn't won in Kansas City in a long, long time. So apparently the bus driver or maybe the lead bus driver, because it's a group of buses, not just one, decided to do a lap around, maybe Gruden told him, do a lap around the stadium.
Circle the stadium.
Yeah, circle the stadium. We beat them. Why not? You know, there's no fans there. But yeah, let's circle the stadium. So it gets back to Andy Reid, and Andy Reid made a crack about, well, that's not, you know, yeah, sure, they can circle the stadium. That's not our style. So, the whole Gruden, and then Gruden's trying to downplay it. Like, guys, don't ask me about that. I got a football game I'm preparing for. So the victory lap became like a mini little revenge storyline this week for that game.
I figured
you would love something like that,
is it
right?
Possible the bus driver just took a wrong turn?
I don't know, empty parking lot? I'm going to say no. I think, to me, that's definitely a Gruden thing. I could definitely see Gruden going, you know what? We beat the Chiefs. Take a victory lap, Bussy! I could absolutely see him doing that.
Bussy. Is that the bus driver's name in this story?
Well, that's what they used to call bus drivers in the 70s.
Oh.
Bussy. Because I remember going on, ready, quick side story, that means absolutely nothing in the big world. I was on a Mets road trip. In the 70s with my dad. He was working for the club, and I went on a road trip with him. And I was on the team bus, going to and from games, hotel. They would always call these guys, Bussy! Bussy, go here! Bussy, go!
Well, they
would call the guy
Bussy. That guy's name was Bartholomew. That's what
is that what it was? I always thought it was bus driver was Bussy.
Name.
I didn't realize. Bussy Bartholomew is his first name was given. So I just, man, that could be 40 years ago, and they don't do that anymore.
Is Bus Cook someone?
Yes, Bus Cook is a very prominent NFL agent. I think he was Favre's agent.
Yeah, his name is James.
Is it?
Bus Cook.
Right. But nobody calls him James.
Was he a bus driver? Is that why?
Bus Tables? I have no idea. Maybe Bus Tables in college. You know, I don't. Yeah. Nobody calls him James. He's Bus Cook. Yeah.
He is Bus Cook.
Yep.
I'm trying to find.
I didn't know what his real name was, but I knew Bus. He drove a bus. Bus Tables. What else could it be? How many other bus references
can
you have?
How do we talk about buses without mentioning Jerome Bettis?
Jerome Bettis, the bus.
Great nickname.
Why did he get that? Is it because he runs over people like buses carrying footballs? Why did Bettis get the bus nickname?
Yeah.
Anyway.
The reason he got it is because he was yellow and black and, right, the Pittsburgh uniform.
The bus?
And he was, that's how it came.
Well, I like that better than Jerome Bumblebee Bettis. I think bus is a better, much better nickname for that.
I don't know if I've ever heard Bumblebee, but it also would kind of fit.
Well, those third jerseys they wear?
Yeah. And then don't forget the Monday night game, by the way. One more game. Rams, and I'm sorry, I don't recognize this team playing in primetime. It's Tampa?
Tampa, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Stop me if you've heard this before, but Tom Brady's getting a spotlight.
They've got a young up-and-coming quarterback who wears number 12, apparently. And, yeah, so he's...
By the 17th primetime game, what do they even say?
They're on all the time on primetime.
All the time.
And they, I guess, I should look. There was some story this week. They have not played that well on primetime. So Bruce Arians, tonight, and tomorrow night, he moved their practices to night practice because they haven't played that well in primetime. So he's trying to adjust them to a schedule or get used to being... So they're practicing tonight and tomorrow night because they're playing Monday night.
Quick thing for you. Browns pass rusher Myles Garrett placed on the COVID-19 reserve list.
Ah.
And back to the Brady conversation. This is one of those, like, is this a hot take, right? Antonio Brown is on the Bucs because of Brady, right?
That's the story.
Friends.
Yeah. I think he's living at Brady's house.
Is it too far to say, like, any idea that, like, Brady is just some perfect, amazing, exemplary teammate goes away when his own personal desire to have this person on the team becomes a problem?
Yeah.
You know, like, are you a good teammate or not?
Right.
I don't know.
Don't know.
I just feel like it's kind of built into that story that they're only doing it because Brady wants it, and it's not like they need help at receiver.
I would assume at some point Arians goes to Brady or Brady goes to Arians and says, trust me, I know what we're doing.
Oh, for sure.
Right?
That's what Brady has done, and Brady has clearly won that battle, and he's on the team, and it's a consistent – I mean, I'm not sure if it's a distraction. We'll see if it ends up costing them wins and losses.
Right.
But it's definitely a player going, like, above the team to say, do this for me.
So if it doesn't work out, like, Arians has talked about how he's been a model citizen to this point, and the moment he stops becoming a model citizen, he'll be gone. If that happens, what does Arians – does he go to Brady and go, hey, dude, what the heck? Like, it's not like he's going to bench him or anything, but, yeah, I just think it's kind of an odd, hey, I know what I'm doing there, Bruce. Go sign this guy. Yeah. Believe me, he'll be okay.
Ian Rappaport says the Browns erred on the side of caution. Myles Garrett stayed home feeling sick. Now he's on the reserve list, and he is out for Sunday. But thankfully, he has stayed away this week, so he hasn't been near the team this week.
So he's out. Okay, I didn't know he was out. I was going to say there's, like, you have to test negative for a certain number of days in a row to play, and I guess maybe that's out the window now. When we get back, so that's your NFL weekend. Sure, there's some college football games that have been postponed, but there are some big college football games to watch this weekend. But we'll delve into how they're dealing with COVID and the number of games that have been canceled and postponed are going up. The first CFP rankings of the season come out next week. There's disparities in games between the power conferences. It's a little confusing. So we're going to talk about that when we get back. Adam Rittenberg from ESPN is going to join us in a moment. It is M&T Bank Bills Fan Football Friday on WGR.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, let's talk a little college football. There's some big games coming up on Saturday, but the NCAA is now dealing with an increase in games being canceled or postponed with 13 this weekend that will not be played as regularly scheduled. On our Western hotline right now is Adam Rittenberg. Adam is the senior college football writer for ESPN. Nice enough to join us on the show. Adam, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Good morning, guys.
So the numbers have gone up. Last week was, to that point, a season high, and that has now been topped by this week. How concerning is this for college football?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely concerning because it's upsetting the schedule and it's reflecting what's going on in the country. And, you know, again, this is going to be the case throughout the rest of the year. I think what we'll certainly monitor is whether there'll be some weeks added on the back end if the playoff does have to move back. I think there's at least been some initial discussions there, although there's real resistance to changing the schedule. I think there's a feeling around the sport, let's get in what we can get in, and let's move on to 2021 when, you know, things certainly look better and likelier to have a robust season with fans and hopefully everybody's back to normal. So it's certainly a struggle because, you know, there could be even more cancellations today. There's test results coming in every Friday, and those are big. Those usually tell you whether you can play or not. So this is just going to be the reality, and a lot of people expected this reality. I mean, there's two ways to look at this, guys. There's the, wow, the cancellations and postponements are going up and up and up, but you also have gotten in a lot of games this year. Yep. And, you know, you asked people this summer, was there going to be any college football? A lot of people said no. So you can certainly look at it with the glass half full approach as well.
Well, I was one of the people who was leaning towards no. I didn't think they could pull this off. Now, I'm curious. We've been talking about the NFL, and the NFL's, you know, in pretty good shape, and they've also been adjusting protocols when needed, you know, maybe adding different layers and trying to help, you know, reduce the number of cases they're dealing with, and they haven't had any games changed in a while. Has the NCAA done the same thing, or is there anything else they could do to try and tweak protocols to help out in any way, reduce the number of cases they're dealing with?
You know, no. I mean, I think, again, a lot of these schools are at the mercy of their local public mm-hmm. health departments, which are very different place to place. I mean, the one thing I know coaches would love to see an adjustment is the contact tracing. I mean, everybody understands if somebody tests positive, they're not going to be with the team for a while. But the hard part for a lot of coaches to accept is the number of players that have to be out when they continually test negative for the virus and are showing no symptoms and never end up having the virus. But they have to sit out for 2 weeks because that's the guideline. A lot of these schools are following the CDC guidelines. So I don't anticipate anything changing as far as you know, reducing the amount of time that someone would have to be on contact tracing. I think there was an anticipation that daily testing in leagues like the Big Ten and the Pac-12 would limit outbreaks, but unfortunately you've seen outbreaks. I mean, Arizona State has one right now. Maryland has a significant outbreak that's caused two cancellations. Wisconsin had that a few weeks ago. It seems to me, guys, that once a team goes through an outbreak that pretty much wipes out 2 weeks, they're typically okay. It's kind of like, can you get through that one and then try to avoid a second one? But obviously there's a number of teams that haven't had any so far, so that could still be coming.
You mentioned the Big Ten, and they don't really have wiggle room, right, with the way their schedule was structured. Of the Power Five leagues, do you think one in particular is really at a disadvantage more than anybody else?
Right. Well, I think it's the Pac-12, just to the fact that they only had a six-game season to begin with, and now you've already had your cancellations. Utah hasn't played a game. I mean, this is crazy. Tulane played its 10th game last night, and Utah hasn't played a game yet. Fortunately, it looks like they're going to be able to play this weekend against USC, but at the most, they're going to get four games before championship weekend and then hopefully a fifth. And so that's just the reality in the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. I mean, those leagues initially decided not to play based on information they had back in August. And we could certainly criticize that decision. I have. But again, that was different time and a different set of information. I think it would have benefited everybody, honestly, given the trend of the virus, to start earlier and try to get as many games in. You know, one thing that was said yesterday by Maryland's head team physician is that, and this has been said by a lot of people around football, that the sport is not transmitting the virus. You know, people are not getting it from playing the sport with teammates or against each other. They're getting it because of the communities that they're in.
Yeah.
And that's the problem, is that these numbers are going up and up and up in so many communities where college football is being played. And unless you're very lucky or very disciplined, it's going to get into your building, and once it does, it's very difficult to prevent an outbreak.
Yeah, the NFL's saying the same thing, you know, about their cases too. What? So Tuesday, right, the first CFP rankings of the year will come out. How does the committee factor in the disparity in games played among all these teams?
Yeah, that's what's going to be really interesting, right? Especially a team like Ohio State. Now, Ohio State will have only had four games to be evaluated on, but they will be coming off their toughest test of the season, undoubtedly, mm-hmm. with Indiana this weekend. So I think that team will be a fascinating to see where they're at. You know, Clemson will have Trevor Lawrence back this week against Florida State. You know, that won't be much of the game, but it'll be interesting to see how the committee views Clemson, you know, which lost its only game in two overtimes with a backup quarterback who had an incredible performance against Notre Dame, but they still lost the game. So, I would anticipate Alabama being number one, Notre Dame being number two. But it'll be interesting to see like where Oregon is. If Oregon takes care of business this weekend against UCLA, Chip Kelly's homecoming to Eugene, how is Oregon going to end up in those first set of rankings? And then also the group of five teams, namely Cincinnati and BYU. Mm-hmm. BYU has an easy game this week. Cincinnati doesn't. They have to go to UCF. And if they can win that game, that should certainly help their resume with the first CFP rankings.
The last thing I want to ask you about is about Jim Harbaugh. One of the stories that's really interesting so far this season is what's happening with Michigan football. And they're 1-3, and this, you know, they're playing like Michigan teams haven't played in a long, long time. The Harbaugh watch is on in Ann Arbor. So how does all this play out at Michigan, do you think?
Right. Well, you know, certainly this is a big game this weekend. I think, you know, I continue to be told by many, many industry sources who know this stuff that Jim Harbaugh is not getting fired. Now, if they lose to Rutgers, you know, everything, you know, may shift a little bit. But there's still a belief that unless Harbaugh wants to leave and go to the NFL, that he'll be back at Michigan for the final year of his contract, even if he has no protection beyond that. You know, most coaches would think that's insane to essentially go into an expiring contract. But that's not Jim Harbaugh. He's different, and it's his alma mater. I think he would like to finish this and put the program certainly in a better place than it is right now. He has had a good tenure there. He hasn't won the big games, and now they're in a bit of a free fall in a very unusual season. So this is big this weekend for them to at least beat Rutgers. They face another struggling team next week in Penn State. We know Ohio State is coming down the pike, and that probably won't be pretty for the Wolverines, but I still don't anticipate Jim Harbaugh being fired. He may leave on his own. He may reach a kind of amicable divorce with Michigan. I think he always thinks he can get a job like the Jets or some of these low-level NFL jobs. So I think unless a big one comes after him, he's probably going to want to be back at Michigan, especially given how badly this season has gone.
Well, enjoy all the games this weekend, Adam, and thanks again for giving us some time this morning on the show.
You too, guys. Have a great weekend. Thanks.
Thank you. That is Adam Rittenberg from ESPN on our Western Hotline. The Indiana-Ohio State game. Indiana's one of the great stories of the season. That's a noon game. Wisconsin-Northwestern, Big Ten. Both Big Ten divisions, in theory, could be decided this weekend with winners in those two games in the East and the West. Bedlam Saturday night, Oklahoma State, Oklahoma. And as Adam mentioned, I think it'll be a blowout, but Trevor Lawrence is back for Clemson, and they will play Florida State. But Florida State football is nowhere near what it used to be.
If the playoff just ends up being Alabama, you know, Notre Dame, Clemson,
Ohio State.
Yeah. Why have seasons ever? You know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it's trending. It's
those four, and they didn't even play their full seasons. And
right.
Yeah. I mean, like, the point about Trevor Lawrence not being in for that one loss in double overtime, I get it. I mean, Clemson has a claim to be the best team, but why bother even having anything? Let's just pick them ahead of time.
I was going to say, I haven't memorize the ACC format, but I believe Clemson could play Notre Dame in the ACC championship.
All right.
So maybe one of them doesn't make it into the Final Four because they're losing in that game.
Okay.
I think. I would have to double check that, but I believe they've been talking about Lawrence coming back, and that might mean there's going to be a rematch down the road. So I'm guessing they could meet in the ACC because Notre Dame's in the ACC this year. So they could meet in that title game, and maybe, who knows, if Notre Dame's unbeaten and they lose, maybe they still go to the championship, right? Sound like an SEC matchup where you might lose in the title game but still somehow go to the college football playoffs. We'll wrap the show up in a moment. Don't forget, Brayton has instigators for you today from 10 to noon. And the brothers DiBiase, Joe and Louis DiBiase, will be bringing you One Bills Live today from noon to 3 on WGR.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Hey, on the Saints, Ian Rappaport from NFL Network has tweeted this. Intrigue in New Orleans. The Saints have given Taysom Hill starter reps in practice this week, a source said. So while Jameis Winston took over for Drew Brees last week, signs are pointing towards Hill getting his first NFL start at quarterback if all checks out after practice. I will say that doesn't necessarily mean, even if he starts, doesn't mean he gets most of the reps. They could start Taysom Hill and still have Jameis Winston play most of the game. There are people speculating they were going to play both guys anyway. So that is the latest from New Orleans. No clearly defined starter being announced for their game. Atlanta. Sorry, I was trying to remember who they were playing this week, and they're playing Atlanta. And Jeremy mentioned earlier the Browns have placed Myles Garrett on reserve COVID. He will not be available for Sunday's game against the Eagles. I'm thinking the Browns can still win that game without Myles Garrett playing. What else did I want to mention? Oh, there was a note, too. Sal was tweeting out some stuff yesterday about third quarter offense for the Bills, since we were discussing it at length earlier this week. And then Mike Sando, who covers the NFL, tweeted at Sal this: for drive starting in the third quarter, the Bills rank 24th in points per drive, and they rank 18th in touchdown rate for third quarter, in the discussion of what's going on with the third quarter offense. One thing we didn't bring up, there have been drives, I don't know if it's the Arizona game or not, there have been drives that have started in the third quarter, and they end up scoring in the fourth quarter. So, I mean, that doesn't count towards third quarter scoring. It goes in the fourth quarter, but they could be moving the ball. Most of that drive could happen in the third. Then they get in the end zone on like the first or second play of the fourth quarter. That doesn't count on third quarter scoring. So throw that in there for what it's worth.
All right.
All right. Anything else do you want to get to before we head out?
No, enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, you too, man. I mean, the weather's nice today, and I think to a lesser extent tomorrow, and then we're back in the 30s Sunday. So get out today and try and be safe while you're enjoying the fine weather. Yes.
Or to take out.
Do some takeout.
Do something nice for somebody.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody, be good and enjoy your Bills-free day Sunday, but be ready to talk football with us. Go Broncos. Be ready to talk football with us Monday morning. Brayton is on the way next, hosting for the Instigators today on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.